Maybe some of us have siblings and we're not alike. I have a sister and I'm not like her. And maybe you have sisters and brothers and you're not like them. We're all gifted differently. Today we're going to open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, and we're going to meet two sisters. Now, as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And that was from the New Revised Standard Version. So let's look at the text and see if we can glean some hope here. The message this morning is entitled, Redeeming Martha. Here we have the account of these two sisters, Martha and Mary, and we just need to remember that Jesus loves both of them dearly. Martha invited Jesus. It says a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. It's Martha's home. Martha is the host in her home. Think about inviting Jesus to your home. If Jesus came to dinner at our homes, we would probably want to plan the meal, put out the best dishes and eating utensils, and think about what to purchase at the grocery store and have everything all prepared. Well, in Bible times, there were no supermarkets with already prepared foods. One could not just go shopping and buy dinner already prepared. There were no fast food drive-thrus or food delivery services. Remember back in Genesis 18 where the visitors came to Abraham, the angels visited him, and he ran into the tent and told Sarah, "Go bake bread." And then he ran to his servants and he made sure the visitors had water for their feet and freshly baked bread and freshly slaughtered meat. Well, in the story we read today, we do not hear about servants. We do not hear about animals to be slaughtered or a garden to be picked. We know that Jesus was not alone. If Martha had baked bread that morning, there might have been enough to share with one person. And what kind of meal would be fit to serve Jesus? Fish and bread? May have to go to the fish market to get some fish. We have several accounts of table fellowship in the Gospel of Luke. Here are two places where Jesus is invited to dinner. In Luke 5:29, it says, "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them." In Luke 7:36, remember when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner, and Jesus went there and reclined at the table? That Pharisee did not provide water for washing his feet, hands, or face, or oil, right? Nothing. Now remember, just one chapter back in Luke 9, Jesus sends out the 12 and he says, "Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town." And earlier in this chapter, in chapter 10, Jesus sends the 72. Look at verse 5 and verse 7. "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." So here in Luke 10:38-42, Martha's the host. She's the one who opened her home. She's the one who cleaned the space, gathered the provisions, set out the provisions, and could have wanted to keep her reputation for being an excellent host, having a welcoming home, caring for her guests, and providing well for anyone who came under her roof, making space for the disciples, making sure everyone is comfortable. Just imagine with me Martha's hands as she makes preparations for the food. I think of her hands full of flour, kneading the bread, cutting the fish with a knife, preparing to serve the food to the guests. She may have had a broom to sweep the floor before inviting the guests into her home. She might have drawn water at the well to provide basins for foot washing. She may have washed the towels to dry the feet. She may have pressed the olives for oil to fry the fish and bake in the bread. That's my imagination. What's yours? Jesus is present in the house with them, and we meet Mary in verse 39. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. Now, when Mary sits at Jesus' feet, the implication is that Mary is taking her place as a disciple of the Lord, learning from Jesus' rabbinical teaching. We know from Acts 22:3 that Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. So sitting at the feet was taking the place of a disciple. Now, one of the good things about Jesus was that he didn't limit his followers to men. In Luke 8, it mentions several notable women who followed him and provided financial resources for him. Well, in Luke 10, as Mary sat at his feet as a disciple, Jesus commended her for learning from him. And amid hosting Jesus, something happens internally in Martha. Her fairness meter starts up. This fairness meter can start up in us when we're working on a team. Have you ever had a job where you felt like you've done your part and then someone doesn't do their fair share? And then the fairness meter starts measuring, and little thoughts start, that is not fair. They are not doing their fair share of the work. I have done more than my fair share. Comparisons between what we have done and what others have done. So, Martha starts becoming offended at the lack of help from her sister, and Martha asks, Lord, don't you care? Remember, this is not the only Lord, don't you care question. Remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat with the disciples and the storm came up? What did the disciples ask Jesus? Mark 4:38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus gets up and brings peace to the storm by telling the storm to be still. Well, let's notice that Martha does not speak directly to Mary. Martha complains to Jesus. As much as we want Jesus to be the judge of fairness and take our side, Jesus may not be dragged into a family dispute. We cannot count on Jesus to take our side of what we think is fair. And fairness continues to be a big deal in church folks, in workplaces, in family lives. Our ways of measuring fairness are not God's ways. In the responsibilities of hosting Jesus, Martha felt abandoned to do the work by herself. And in this Lucan account, Mary seems to get the credit for being a star pupil. In her provisions, Martha became distracted by many things. The King James says encumbered. You like that word, encumbered by many things, weighed down. But in this text, Jesus is not comparing the character of Martha with the character of Mary. Martha's fairness meter starts measuring herself for what she is doing against what Mary is not doing. And the seed of comparison grows. Now, imagine this conversation. I've had fun with this week. Martha doesn't take her sister aside and say, "Mary, I know it's important to learn from Jesus, and you're sitting at his feet taking the position of a disciple that Jesus encourages women to take. How awesome for you! I'm so happy that you're sitting there and eating every word that's proceeding from the mouth of God. Jesus has bread to feed you that's heavenly food, and you're able to sit there and experience the stories of Jesus and the parables and ask Jesus, what do these things mean? Mary, you keep learning, and then come and share what you're learning with me." That didn't happen. No. Comparison says, it's not fair. What I'm doing is more important than what she is doing. Just look at all the work I have to do. And I have so much work to do, and no one is helping me. I just cannot get all of this work done. When I invited Jesus to come into my home, I took on the hosting responsibilities. And then here comes the list of a good host does this. A good host makes sure there's water for feet to be washed. A good host makes sure the floor is swept and the mats are ready to sit on. A good host provides water for thirsty travelers and food for the hungry ones. Martha had this checklist of things that needed to be done and were not getting done without help, so she asked Jesus for help. Now, she wasn't asking Jesus to get up and help her. She was asking Jesus to command Mary to get up and help. And Jesus is not going to grant Martha's request. Jesus is not going to get in the middle of this sister situation and decide for Martha against Mary or take Martha's side. So, in the "it's not fair, Jesus" argument and appeal, Martha asked Jesus, "Don't you care that my sister has left me alone?" Martha doubts that Jesus cares how hard Martha has been working, and Martha has been waiting for Mary to realize that Mary has abandoned Martha to work alone while Mary just sits there, not help. Well, Martha feels like it's unfair. Jesus doesn't care, and Jesus is just letting Mary sit there and learn when there's so much to do. Jesus, don't you care? Tell her to come help me. Well, Jesus often does the unexpected. When Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," we need to hear his voice as an invitation. And I'll just be honest. I, for years, heard this voice like it was an accusation. I heard, "Martha, Martha," like that. And that's not the voice of Jesus. If you're hearing, "Martha, Martha," that is in your spirit with the pointing of the finger tone of voice. That's the accusation of the enemy. And I just want to say it clearly. Jesus talks with an invitation, not an accusation. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Jesus talks with an invitation, not an accusation. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious, worried, disturbed, and troubled in your spirit." I imagine Jesus saying something like this: serving with your heart at peace is welcomed. Being anxious, worried, disturbed, troubled is not serving me. "Martha, Martha, what," this is my imagination still, "Martha, Martha, what you think might be serving me may not be the way of serving me in this moment. You're distracted, dear Martha." And so, my imagination goes on. If Martha came to you for advice, what would you tell her? I think if Martha came to me for advice, I would offer this to Martha. "Martha, you have gifts. Your sister has gifts. Be faithful to the gifts you've been given. You can trust Jesus, even though what you're perceiving is not what you expected." What would you say? Now, we can notice that Jesus kept his relationship with Martha and Mary healthy by not getting involved in settling sister disputes. And I wonder what goes on in us when we think Jesus does not care. What was going on in Martha that she thought Jesus didn't care? When the disciples thought they were drowning in the boat and they said, "Teacher, don't you care?" You know, I think it's human sometimes to wonder if we've been forsaken by God. But the disciples had an opportunity to see that Jesus did care. They had opportunities to love and serve Jesus beyond the storm in the boat. So one of the pitfalls readers fall into here is taking sides in a way that Mary wins and Martha loses. Martha was invited to hear what Jesus was sharing with the disciples, and Jesus didn't want Martha to miss out on what was better at the moment. Jesus had food that was spiritual food, and he said Mary had chosen the better part. Now, scholars have argued about what the better part means for years and years and years. And some theories are that serving dinner is temporal, while sitting at the feet of Jesus has eternal rewards. But Jesus didn't explain it, and so the debate goes on. It is a pitfall to say Mary is better than Martha. Spirituality teachers use Mary as a model of the contemplative path of spirituality, being present with Jesus, sitting at Jesus' feet. But it's also a pitfall to say that Martha's better than Mary. Martha gets things done while Mary sits and learns from Jesus. Maybe Martha's more mature in her faith because she knows how to serve and not just sit there. Or that the disciples who serve are better than the types of disciples who just sit still. Unfortunately, these sisters have been compared with one another in history, with Martha representing active spirituality and Mary representing contemplative spirituality, and choosing which one we're more likely to be like. Well, that's a false choice, a false dichotomy. Just to show you how this continues to be a thing in our culture, there are spirituality quizzes on the internet, and they ask, are you a Mary or a Martha? And then these quizzes proceed to ask questions with the idea that being Martha is bad and being Mary is good. And that's why Martha needs to be redeemed. Lest we neglect the physical food, there's a story that comes from the time of the church after the book of Acts and before 500. Okay, this is right in about the 400s. And in those days, some Christ followers went out to the desert and lived alone or lived in small communities together. And we call these Christ followers the desert fathers and mothers of the church. Well, this story is a desert wisdom story about a brother who comes to visit Abba Silvanus. So Abba's like father, okay? So Abba Silvanus is living in the desert at Mount Sinai, and this brother comes, and when he sees the other brothers at work, he says to the old man, do not work for food that perishes, for Mary has chosen the good part. Well, the old man calls a disciple to give this brother a book and an empty cell. At the end of the day, the visitor is very hungry and wonders why no one has called him to eat. Abba Silvanus explains that he himself and the others are not so spiritual as to be able to go without earthly food and must work for it. But since he, the visitor, has chosen the good part, they didn't think he wanted to eat earthly food. Well, when this brother heard this, he repented and said, Mary needs Martha. And it's really by Martha's help that Mary is praised. That's a good story. I had taken it out and Alan said, put that back in there. Okay. There are plenty of disciples, Christ followers through the ages and today that are stuck and feeling like that and feeling like they've been looked down upon in their efforts to serve Jesus. So this is not just about women disciples and followers serving Jesus. Jesus often turns things upside down. For example, just before we meet Martha and Mary, we see this lawyer asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, there's faith in action with the way the Good Samaritan cared for the wounded person on the side of the road. And then Jesus asked the lawyer, who proved to be a neighbor. Not just thought about being a neighbor, who proved to be a neighbor. And that Good Samaritan went a long way to demonstrate faith by action. Some of us have expectations of Jesus that Jesus does not seem to be answering in the way we want the answers to come. The timing of the answers, the manifestation of the miracles we want to happen. Some of us have expectations that have been seemingly unanswered for a long time, for years. And we might be asking the question Martha asked, Jesus, don't you care? Fill in the blank. Jesus answered, Martha, you're distracted by many things. Well, what about all the good works for the kingdom of God? The folks doing the I was hungry and you fed me stuff. Jesus praises them too. The ones who feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and imprisoned. Well, what then is the good path, the good way of spirituality? I woke up with this aha thought this week. Listen to this, see if it resonates. It's possible to ignore the very presence of God while trying to do something for Jesus. Trying to do something for God. We can distract ourselves instead of meeting with God. God can be right there and we can be off doing something we think will please God. That was my aha. It's possible to ignore the very presence of God while trying to do something for God. We need to discern in the moment when we're avoiding paying attention to Jesus, this Jesus who is with us. And could it be the better part is being with Jesus when we're sitting and when we're actively serving? We can do both. It's not an either-or spirituality. The body of Christ needs those who contemplatively sit and those who actively serve. One of my favorite examples is a missionary named Frank Laubach. And maybe you'll look him up later because I don't have time to tell his whole story. But he was a missionary to the Moros people, the Muslim people in the Philippines. And he learned to pay attention to the presence of God 1 second out of every minute, 1 minute out of every hour. And he was a literacy guy. He did the Each One Teach One in literacy and had that method of language learning in the Philippines that spread among others. And if you have time later, look him up because he's got a fascinating story. All the good works he did while paying attention to Jesus and practicing the presence of God. So the point is, being with Jesus in the times we're attentively sitting and the times we're actively serving, we practice being with Jesus in our ordinary lives, times to sit and focus, times to act and do the good things Jesus invites us to do, to share the news, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, take the presence of God with us where we go. Serving Jesus is part of discipleship, part of following Jesus. Now, in Luke 10, we're still there. Just look up to verse 2. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That sounds like serving. We need to redeem Martha from being stuck in the Martha, Martha verse. So let's look at two more cases. Matthew 8, when Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. When Jesus entered Peter's house, this is verses 14 and 15, he saw his mother-in-law laying in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to serve him. She got up and began to serve. And now, Jesus himself, Luke 22:27, when a dispute arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest, Jesus turned it on its head when he said, "I am among you as one who serves." Jesus is among us as one who serves. It was not out of place for Martha to serve. Martha was the one who invited Jesus. And Martha does not have to stay stuck in these verses in Luke 10. I wonder how many times do we freeze a person or a situation in a particular memory, a particular pain, and we do not allow that person to grow beyond that place, to have new mercy. I know some persons who've frozen me in a time 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. In their last experience of me, without allowing me room to grow, room to learn and be forgiven, we need to allow persons we have frozen the opportunity to thaw and to grow. Let's look at a time later in the Gospel of John, closer to the time of Jesus' death. We learn in John 11 that Martha and Mary had a brother, Lazarus, who died. The sister sent word to Jesus and asked Jesus to come because their brother was very ill. Jesus delayed 2 more days before going back to Bethany to see about Lazarus. And both sisters, both Mary and Martha, have the same line of complaint. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's in verses 21 and 32. But in the John account, Martha is the one who confesses that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus reveals to Martha the truth. I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha believes. John 11, 23. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She, Martha, said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Martha has just made a confession with her mouth and believed in her heart that Jesus is the Messiah of God, the one coming into the world to bring salvation to God's people. Martha has moved from distraction to active devotion. Martha has become the proclaimer of faith. Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Remember Jesus asking the disciples, Who do you say that I am? And hearing Peter's confession, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends Peter. Here Martha makes a similar confession. After the resurrection, Thomas sees the resurrected Jesus with nail prints and sword scar in his side, and Thomas says, My Lord and my God, and confesses his belief. Well, here in John 11, after Martha makes this confession, Martha sends for Mary, and Mary's been sitting in the house. She was sitting in the house the last time we saw her. She's still sitting in the house. She's sitting in the house. And Mary repeats the, if you had been here, my brother would not have died expectation. Jesus asks where Lazarus is, and they say, come and see. Come and see Jesus, and Jesus weeps. Jesus asks for the stone to be rolled away and calls, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is raised from the dead and needs to be unwrapped from the grave clothes. And we have one more place to go in the next chapter, John 12, starting in verse 1. This is the last scripture. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So in John 12, we see growth in Martha. Martha is serving at the table, and Lazarus is present as one of those reclining with Jesus. We see no complaining here, no asking Jesus to intervene and tell Mary to help. Martha is doing what she is gifted to do. Serve the Lord with table fellowship. Mary is doing what she's gifted to do. Serve the Lord by anointing his feet. What about us? Maybe we find ourselves encumbered about, weighed down, distracted with many things. Maybe we find ourselves disappointed in the delays of Jesus in answering our prayers. Maybe we find ourselves asking Jesus, Don't you care? Maybe we have some residual resentment in our hearts. Maybe we want to grow in our walk with Jesus and stop being stuck in a stereotype, like Martha's stereotype from Luke 10. This is a day of redemption, and today is a day of salvation.